radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Two on Green. Had a 14-point. The drop off behind the back. Are you kidding me?
That was an impressive win for the Houston Rockets last night, and they did it in front of Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. 111-104 with Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün looking like some variant of Batman and Robin. Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston on this Thursday, March 13th of 2025. It's a tinfoil hat Thursday. Make sure that you're ready to go at 12:30 with your best sports conspiracy theories. We're leading you into Texas A&M basketball right here on your home of the Aggies. That ought to be a whole lot of fun, huh? Now, maybe not for Texas, who relatively sucks compared to the Aggies, who have become a basketball school overnight. But before we get into all of that, let's talk about some professional basketball. If Kevin Durant's going to want to come to Houston, last night certainly would have helped. Because last night, I saw a Kevin Durant that seemed aloof, that seemed checked out. And while I don't think that last night should have made the Rockets more willing to pursue Durant, or Devin Booker for that matter, I think it's going to make either of those two envious of their situation that the Rockets have right now. Şengün, Green, to the point where we even saw a report after the game from, I think, a local Suns reporter, that Devin Booker can be had. I thought he was someone that couldn't be had. Now we're talking three first-round picks and someone with upside. So I feel like last night, the Rockets did exactly what we asked them to do, which is to show off and look hot for potential new teammates. They did wear those lame City Connect jerseys, whatever they are. I forget what the NBA calls theirs. But the ones that could be the old school Rockets logos to catch some mustards, but it's white and black. But they looked good in it. And the numbers for Alperen Şengün, who had that incredible behind-the-back pass that you heard coming in, he had 20 points, 4 boards, and 7 assists. And Jalen Green, an efficient night, 8 of 16 from the field, 50% from three-point land, 10 of 11 from the line, and just 2 turnovers. And it was great to see Fred VanVleet back. Because Fred VanVleet, you put him back in there, and the Rockets just look like they have their head screwed on straight. The Suns, meanwhile, do not. The Suns, I think, at this moment in time, they are in Cancun. Not physically, but mentally for sure. After the game, I was listening to the post-game show, and Calvin Murphy brought up, hey, Kevin Durant had 13 shots tonight? That's it? Not even. He had 12. And there were several moments in this game where I just saw a guy who clearly is thinking about where the next destination is going to be. One moment where I really noticed it was when the best thing that happened last night took place. Steven Adams versus a Plumlee. Which Plumlee, you might ask? Doesn't matter. They all look the same. I'm just kidding. It was Mason Plumlee. In the middle of this game, Mason Plumlee and Steven Adams were jostling for position to get a rebound underneath the hoop. A foul was called, and Plumlee went straight elbow to Steven Adams and kept on pushing and All Steven Adams did in return was put his arms essentially around Plumlee's arms and just locked him in. Plumlee tackled him to the floor. I don't know what Adams did. I don't think it was much. I don't think he bit him. But all I know is when the two towering human beings got back up off the court, Mason Plumlee was bleeding and Steven Adams was not. So that's an extra victory. You got to see Steven Adams in Kiwi fighting action last night. And I guess we could have seen a little bit more. Ime Udoka thinks that way. Here is the Rockets head coach talking about the kerfuffle between Steven Adams and Mason Plumlee, which was the best part of last night's game.
What did you think of the rest of the match?
Much. Steven could do a lot more if he was really trying to wrestle. So, like I said, it looked like they got in a little bear hug and fell down, and I thought that'd be maybe a technical at best, but surprised to be ejected.
I was surprised that Adams was ejected as well. He seemed so calm when he got up, and this is one of the moments where I noticed Kevin Durant didn't exactly seem to be very Phoenix sunny. Kevin Durant went up to Steven Adams right after he got off the floor and they talked a little bit. Go back and watch the replay. They chatted. And I think whatever Durant said, it made Adams laugh. So I think that Kevin Durant was on Steven Adams' side there. And he should have been. Go watch the replay. Plumlee's the only guy who should have been ejected there. I think the reason Adams got ejected too is because Plumlee started bleeding. I don't even know how he started bleeding. But I do know I would never want to fight a New Zealander. You know, they do the haka, which is absolutely terrifying. Ever seen that in action? The rugby team does that. They're doing all these hand movements. And and I'm sorry if that's culturally offensive. It's not intended to be. I don't know the actual words to the haka. But Steven Adams would be the guy who is first in the charge of a New Zealand army of men. That's number one New Zealander.
Yeah, number one draft pick if you had to draft guys to defend the island.
Correct. For war. Hand-to-hand yes. combat, Sean, Steven Adams is number one.
Also, the next 17 picks might all be related to Steven Adams because Steven Adams has 18 siblings.
18 siblings?
I think a lot of them are half-siblings.
Gotcha. Okay. Jeez.
But
yeah.
Yeah, he has a ton of brothers
18 full-blooded brothers and sisters. That's a lot of work. There's a grandparent of mine who was one of my great-grandparents on my dad's side was one of 24. I believe that was all by the same woman, and I understand why, because back in the day, you know, when you've got a farm in Prince Edward Island or Nova Scotia, wherever they were, you know, you might have your children taken off by bears or wolves or eagles, I don't know.
Or just like whooping cough.
Yeah.
Or like some
little dysentery.
Yeah.
Right.
Some 1800s disease.
But Steven Adams with 18.
His dad fathered 18 kids.
Not Steven Adams with 18, but that is a one-man army. Excuse me. That is an 18-man army. Every single Adams, I'm assuming, is over 6 feet tall. The women, the men.
Two of his half-sisters were Olympians.
Holy crap.
One's a shot putter.
Wow. Okay, so yeah.
Actually, they're both shot putters.
This family truly could have been a family of warlords, a family of...
They would have taken over the island back in the day.
For sure.
I don't know how far back in the day. Maybe the 1600s.
Pre-guns.
Maybe 1960. I don't know.
1960.
Just very recently.
Pre-guns, they would have taken over the entirety of the island. So that was fun to watch last night. Steven Adams getting into it with Mason Plumlee, and I noticed during that Adams Plumlee squab, Kevin Durant was chatting with Steven Adams afterwards in a way that it felt like he was just completely disconnected from the sun, Sean.
Yeah, even going back to what Murphy pointed out in the post game, that like Kevin Durant shot the ball 12 times in a game his team was leading or was down basically the entire time, and he played 37 minutes.
Yeah.
But 37 minutes took 12 shots. 8 for 12, too. It was good. Bol Bol and I think it's Royce O'Neal combined to shoot 13 times. They're 3 for 13 combined.
So, 3 for 13.
So they had two guys that made three shots combined for more attempts than Kevin Durant. That speaks to, I think, a little bit of how disconnected Kevin Durant is and how he is, hey, listen, I'm out here to do my thing. What happens, happens.
Shot 75% for what it's worth on those 12 shots, 2 of 2 from outside. But, yeah, Trill O'Reilly agrees on YouTube on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. KD was just standing behind the three-point line on offensive possessions. No screens, no movement, just standing around.
Yeah, it's what a guy looks like when he's in his last 20 games with a team.
Did you get the sense that Devin Booker is 100% there? Because I'd say this after last night's game, especially with how well Green and Şengün played together and with how connected they seemed. They were busting each other's balls over the course of this one. There was a moment where Şengün had a breakaway layup and he wasn't able to finish the deal. They called a foul on Durant. And Jalen, I think, was like giving him a little bit of crap because he wasn't able to complete the play. Like, those two seem like they like each other, and they look like they're capable of playing with each other. Meanwhile, Kevin Durant's just hanging around, and I mean, it wasn't the best day for Devin Booker. I don't look at Devin Booker last night and say Devin Booker's so much better than Jalen Green. Jalen Green's obviously so volatile that it's a one night kind of thing. But I walked away from this game more than anything thinking, the Suns should want to play for you, Durant, Booker, but this shouldn't make you feel like you need to go get either of those two.
No, I don't think the Rockets have to be desperate this offseason to get one of these guys. I think Jalen Green, you're right, played a great game. He played a game like a guy who bought a house in Houston, and he's like, no, I don't want to move.
Yeah,
I don't have to look for another house somewhere else.
No,
I think that. If you want to look at last night's game and say, look, we got Devin Booker right here, I would say let's widen it to more than just one game.
Yes.
But I think that the flashes, it's more flashes from Jalen Green that show you that why he is kind of why just when you think you're out, he always pulls you back. I think for us, we are more, I guess, level-headed, or we're more big picture with this. Also, March basketball, we've seen it before with Jalen Green. I think for me personally, like, I'm not changing my opinion on Jalen Green too much with anything that happens this regular season. It is the first playoff series that they play.
Correct.
That will be the
very good point.
The opportunity that Jalen Green has to make me a Jalen Green defender on Twitter, to make me be the guy. Maybe I change my profile picture to Jalen Green and I become a Jalen Green stan account. That's on the table for how well, if he plays this well in the playoffs.
I saw a comment from someone by the name of Flamingo Shot. I don't know if this person hates me because he's definitely got Alperen Şengün in his profile picture, but he said, I don't know how much Devin Booker is better than Jalen Green. What I know is Devin Booker's not 3 to 4 Suns picks better than Jalen Green. I thought that was a very interesting point, and I agree with it. I mean, I like Devin Booker more than I like Jalen Green, but I'm also not of the mindset that Devin Booker is some ascendant star. I think Devin Booker is who Devin Booker's going to be right now.
He's 6th best player in the league to 12th. 15.
Yeah,
he's
I like that
range. He's like a top 10-ish kind of player. And like you said, he's 28 now, or I think he turns 28 this year.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think he turns 29 this year.
Wow. That makes me feel old.
He and I are basically the same age.
Wow.
Devin Booker doesn't have the upside to become, you know, top 2 guy in the league that – You normally, throughout history, you need that kind of guy to win a championship. Maybe the Boston Celtics have you thinking a little bit differently about that with Jason Tatum, who's not quite in that class, but he's like the next guy from there. So if you think Devin Booker can be that, or maybe, you know, Devin Booker and Amin Thompson can combine to get to that level with Şengün, with some of these other guys, then I could see it. Or if you just want to say, well, why don't we just keep Jalen Green, a guy who's younger and could also develop to be this kind of guy.
I think Green could develop to be top 25 and maybe higher than that. But I think top 25 is a fair projection for him.
But it's Jalen Green and you keep the picks.
Exactly. And I think those picks could help you out. You're in a good spot. You have as many wins right now as you did all of last year, which is incredible. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant, Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to get in on the Rockets conversation, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Did last night affect your opinion of, one, Jalen Green's future in Houston, two, going after Kevin Durant or Devin Booker this offseason? Up next, everyone and their mother is pissed at the Texans for something they didn't do yesterday. We'll talk about it. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
We're going to be at Cobos on St. Patty's Day, celebrating my people's holiday in Edo. Party begins at 7. They're opening just for us. We love the guys at Cobos. So you can start your St. Patrick's Day early. Irish car bombs. Little Guinness. Maybe you want to do something. You can't call it a black and tan. If you call it a black and tan, an Irish person will lecture you. But if you mix a Guinness with some sort of cider, it's called a half and half. Also very good. Do not call it a black and tan, because as someone who accidentally did that once, because I'd only heard it called that, an actual Irish person hears you say that, and they will assume that you are confusing an Irish drink with the uniforms of the soldiers who were, you know, from England, killing Irish people back in the early 1900s during Ireland's fight for independence.
So do you think Raul at Cobos is going to be enforcing that? Listen. I mean, it is. Any bar on St. Patrick's Day becomes an Irish bar, so we will be at Irish Bar Cobos Q.
I will, as the history nerd here, I'll be there to enforce it. Okay. I don't know if Raul will like that, but I'll be there to enforce it. That's for sure. A text from our last segment talking about the Rockets. Devin Booker has reached his peak. Jalen Green is just getting started. I will add the ... we hope to that. I do think if I'm making a bet about what Jalen Green ultimately will be, I think at some point in his career, he will win Sixth Man of the Year. I do not think it'll be in Houston, but I that's the kind of player he is. I've been saying this for a couple of years. But the moments that you see from him last night, especially the rapport he seemed to have with Şengün last night, with no Amen Thompson out there, with him dealing with the ankle injury, that's one of those moments where now you think about, okay, well, what do I do going forward? Do I stick with this, or is my future more about Amen Thompson? I would lean towards my future's about Amen Thompson, but I bet for Green, who has certainly had a little bit of the spotlight stolen from him by Thompson, I'm appreciating the moments I have without him, because I get to show off what I still can do. And, Jabari Smith, on a night where Amen Thompson's there, you can't go off for six from outside. You can't miss all your threes. Got to be better. But there we go, guys. Rockets talk on the Paul Gallant Show. I think people are mad at Nick Caserio. Not a lot of people, but some people. They're mad at Nick Caserio. Why? Because the Texans did not sign a guy that C.J. Stroud had a pants tent about in terms of his offensive line playing ability yesterday. Lions offensive lineman Kevin Zeitler signed a one-year deal with the Tennessee Titans. And it wasn't for much. This wasn't the kind of contract that would have been unaffordable for the Texans. He is 35, but last year he did play in 16 of 17 games for Detroit, and Detroit had arguably the best offensive line in the league last year. Philadelphia also had a strong case, as they always do. But it's one of those two teams in the NFC, that's for sure. And Zeitler is one of these guys who is all football. There was a video that went viral of him a couple of years ago where he's in the labor room with his wife practicing his pass protection sets. It's a pretty funny video.
And this, hilarious video.
This is definitely, Sean, closer to the kind of player Texans fans want to move towards on the offensive line in a post Laramie Tunsil, Houston Texans organization.
Yeah.
This guy is who people want. You want a little less awesome Hawaiian shirts and a little more camo caps.
Yes, less, isn't it awesome that my cleats got signed by Beyonce after we lost 31-2?
I forgot he did that. Oh, yeah. My God, he did do that.
So this is while his wife is in labor. Okay, that changes it. In labor, crazy move. I thought it was maybe post...
I think his wife took the video.
Yeah, no, it is from the hospital bed perspective. And this is the original ones from Robert Griffin III, so I don't know. It's not 100%. He might have some of the details off, but yeah, wife in labor, practicing your pass blocking. That is something the Texans could use, that kind of mentality.
Yeah.
The Zeitler mentality.
The Zeitler mindset. I think you could make a strong case that Tunsil and the want to do all he can wasn't there. Does that make him a bad teammate? Not necessarily. You're not going to get a perfect player when you bring somebody in, you know? A guy might be exceptionally talented, but he might not love football to the degree that coaches want. He might just be supernaturally talented. Maybe he's a little bit aloof when it comes to losing. Maybe it's not the end of the world when his team doesn't get a W. I did get the impression Tunsil's a little more of a businessman than most offensive linemen. And hey, he's a great one. I mean, negotiated two contracts that were tops in the NFL. But they wanted guys like Zeitler, and Zeitler was available for the Texans, and they didn't get him. So I wonder if this guy is somebody who the Texans go after. David Andrews, Patriots center, captain for 8 years, has to have a shoulder surgery this offseason and might be on the verge of retiring, but the Patriots are going to release him. If he doesn't sign with another team, they're probably going to give him a retirement ceremony as well. Much like Joe Tooney, David Andrews is somebody that Nick Caserio is very familiar with. So this is a veteran option for the Texans on the interior offensive line, an offensive line that I don't really like the current plan, as reported by Aaron Wilson, which is to move Titus Howard from right tackle to left guard to left tackle to put a Laken Tomlinson in either of the guard positions, and then at center, guard, Juice Scruggs, Jared Patterson, maybe somebody else. And at right tackle, it's second-round pick from last year, Blake Fisher. I don't like that plan. I'd like a veteran. There's still veterans available. Meanwhile, the Texans are signing defensive ends. And Texas fans are wanting them to sign Cooper Kupp. And the Texans are signing special teamers. And then more defensive ends. Where are my veteran offensive linemen? It's baffling at this moment in time. They got a lot of faith they're going to be able to turn it around with Cole Popovich, the head Texans offensive line coach, and Nick Caley running the offense. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, got any conspiracy theories? Because it's a tinfoil hat Thursday. We'll get into some conspiracies in the world of sports. Like this one, why didn't Laramie Tunsil leave the city of Houston, at least as of March 13th, 2025 at 12:29 p.m. Central Time, a goodbye note, a thank you note? What gives? We'll dive into that in more. Stay put.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. This
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
And we're going to be at Cobos all day for St. Patty's Day. A couple of people with some interesting thoughts on the text line. We're talking about the colonizers of England and all that jazz. Yeah, not a fan of England. England has persecuted my blood, my Irish blood, my Scottish blood, and my French-Canadian blood. If I'm playing a video game and it's one of those strategy games where I can be any country, there is only one country I will never be: England. I'd even be Germany. And or China. Maybe even Japan. Russia? And I get it. There are allies and stuff. But I mean, they suck Meghan Markle on us. We got Meghan Markle in that Netflix TV show. Have you watched it? I've hate watched it. I think it is worth the hate watch, to be perfectly honest. But that's what they left us with. Also, somebody asked me, hey, Paul, any date update? Last night's date postponed. There might be a date tonight. We shall see. I really don't know with this one. Met her at a bar at Moonshine Deck on Friday. She thought I looked good in a cowboy hat. But how will she think I look without a cowboy hat? Does she want me for my cowboy hat? Should have been a cowboy. Great song by Toby Keith. Maybe I need to read into the lyrics of that song and find a way to show up and look like the cowboy of her dreams.
That couldn't hurt. Could not hurt to look to Toby Keith for direction at this time.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
Yeah. She met you with a cowboy hat on. Now you have a tinfoil hat on.
Right. And it's time.
Maybe don't wear this to the date.
Don't wear the tinfoil hat? Okay. Well, it's time for a tinfoil hat Thursday.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Handling the biggest conspiracies in sports.
Who has the power to cover it up?
Just follow the money.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
And asking the questions they don't want answered.
So hold on to your hats.
Tinfoil hat?
They should wear little tinfoil hats.
This is Tinfoil Hat Thursday.
Laremy Tunsil was traded by the Houston Texans Monday after our show went off the air. And people are upset. Not because the Texans traded Laremy Tunsil, who they seem to believe will be very easy to replace. But they're mad that this person that they were celebrating the departure of has not left a thank you note. Where's the full paid ad in the Houston Chronicle? Where's the Instagram post? Where's the Twitter post? To this point, I still haven't seen it. So what does that mean? What does that say? Did Laremy Tunsil ever like it here? Does Laremy Tunsil not like CJ Stroud, which is something that was suggested? The last post that he had on social media is retweeting an account by the name of @NFLRumors, Texans players were not happy with the trade of five-time Pro Bowler Laremy Tunsil. So that's on his ex. On his Instagram, similar silence. You would have thought by now he would have weighed in. Why hasn't he said thank you to us, the fans who pay his salary?
What could this mean? Why? How could he do this? Doing the Brian Windhorst fingers. What could this mean?
Good question.
Not even a, you know, I get, you know, what? Are people still buying out a page of an ad in the newspaper? I get how that might be old-fashioned. I understand why Laremy Tunsil, he seems like a guy on the cutting edge. Not even an Instagram post? Not even a
nothing.
Deuces Houston, it's been real. Nothing.
on his Instagram story, posted a Photoshop of him in a Commanders jersey. His last post on Instagram from January 22 is just a series of pictures, 24 rotation. Doesn't even say, like, hey, it's a good season and we tried our best. It's just a bunch of pictures of Lara, me, Tunsil, and Lara, me, Tunsil alone. Truly is. Except for like one picture where he's high-fiving Stroud. That's really it. It is kind of noteworthy.
Are they all on the field, or there's some all on the tunnel field. Shots?
They're all great. They're all great photos.
I thought there might have been some tunnel walk-in photos. Some hey, look at this. Look at the shirt I'm wearing.
Tunsil looks good when in all these photos. So he clearly like spent some time curating the best pictures. 24 rotation. It's just Lara, me. Anyway, just a thought. Lara, me, Tunsil. Maybe all about Lara, me, and not necessarily everybody else. I don't know. Everyone liked him, but no thank you,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, thank
no
God.
No goodbye.
Thank God he retweeted that.
Not even anything about his teammates.
NFL rumor.
Yeah, you're right. Like, that's it. That's literally the last thing he's posted. So why is that? 713-780-3776 to call to text.
I have a question related to this.
Yes?
Do we want this? Or is this a thing that people want?
I don't need it. I don't care. You know,
Alex Bregman had a thank you post. I don't know. We mentioned it that he had one. Maybe read some of it. It's one of those things that's a nice gesture, but no one really loves it. No one's like, oh, thank God. You know what? I like him more now that he's not on my favorite team.
Tinfoil Hat Thursday continues. I'm wearing a tinfoil hat if you're watching along on YouTube or Twitch. Red Sox legend Jim Rice had a heated conversation with a Red Sox staffer in Fort Myers after a player asked for his advice. The staffer told him that his advice didn't align with the team's approach. Rice replied, "Look at the monitor. Do what you do and don't talk to me." Is it possible that Jim Rice was talking to Alex Bregman in this moment? I like to believe yes. One, because I believe the Red Sox are a bunch of dummies. They didn't even really appreciate Jim Rice when he played for them back in the day. And two, Alex Bregman strikes me as one of the few people on the Boston Red Sox who might have a clue who Jim Rice is. Seriously. I mean, Jim Rice played a very long time ago, and he was a very good player for the Red Sox. I think his number's retired there. He hasn't played since 1989. And the staffer's just disrespecting him. I'm wondering if that was in front of Alex Bregman. And once again, I'm wondering if Alex Bregman has regrets. Does Alex Bregman have regrets when he's asking Jim Rice, again, tinfoil hat is on, when he's asking Jim Rice for advice and a Red Sox staffer stepping in there? You've already got Devers and Jared Casas bitching and moaning about the possibility of Rafael Devers' fatty boom batty keister moving off at third base. Now there's this. Interesting. And yes, tinfoil hat is on. I don't know that this definitively happened. Jim Rice was talking to a Red Sox player.
Yes, because at the same time, while Alex Bregman would walk up to Jim Rice and ask for, ask him, it also is, he's relatively new. So I don't know if he's that, involved. So there, I could think of reasons why it is and isn't. Either way, the staffer, like, what?
Yeah. Shut up. Hey, video boy. Like,
hey, don't tell this hitter how it was back in your day.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, dweeb. This is where Jim Crane, the Red Sox could maybe use him. A little jock Jim Crane in the mix.
This guy would have been stuffed in a locker if he tried that with,
for sure. Oh.
Tried that with Bagwell or Brantley.
Yeah, and Crane. We talked about Crane last week. Jim Crane was an incredible pitcher in college. He really was.
Yeah.
He had set the record for strikeouts in the World Series. He had 18 strikeouts in a game once in the Division II World Series. It's insane.
I would love to know what happens inside those Astros meetings where there is like one guy who's like the quant. He's the Jonah Hill's character in Moneyball of this, and it actually is just the scene from Moneyball where they're sitting in with all the old school scouts who are like, I don't like this prospect. He has an ugly girlfriend. It means he has no confidence. And Jeff Bagwell's nodding along And someone goes, well, his OPS is very high. Shut up. Who brought you in here?
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get this dork out.
Yeah. Hey, Craig Biggio needs a coffee, all right?
And then they lock him out once he gets the
coffee.
Yeah,
exactly.
One last one. Northwestern feels that they are being treated poorly by the Big Ten because the Big Ten, for the Big Ten Conference Tournament, put them in rooms without air conditioning. And they feel like they are treated by the league poorly regularly. This is just the latest example. Does the Big Ten hate Northwestern because they're a bunch of nerds who aren't that good at sports? That most recently were famous in sports due to a scandal involving offensive linemen doing, quote, ogre bleep, end quote. It could be. Certainly could be. That sucks. No air conditioning in a hotel room. What are we doing? It's the bare minimum requirement. I don't even care if the I don't care what's been on the sheets. You know, I don't need the black light. Just give me an air conditioning that I can turn all the way down so it is the coldest possible room.
Ooh.
85 is hot.
Rooms are 85 degrees.
85 is hot.
Because I was thinking, like, I don't know, where is this? Indianapolis?
Yes, I would think.
Chicago? One of those two, I imagine. Although that is not the only Big Ten footprint big cities. I guess it could be in L.A. But this is really bad. I don't know. Is Northwestern fighting to get in the tournament? Because if they were, you'd think that the Big Ten would be trying to set them up to succeed. Because just more teams in the tournament work, like, that helps.
They're
them.
Not making the tournament.
Okay.
They're
okay.
Playing Wisconsin today. They're 17-15.
Oh, okay.
They're
then, out. Yeah, bleep them. No
yeah.
AC.
Yeah.
Nerd.
Yeah, they want Wisconsin to actually go places. They don't care about Northwestern.
Yeah.
I do think this is a Northwestern's the nerdy school, and we all hate them.
Well, I don't know if it's because they're a nerdy school, I think it's because they're not good.
But I think
they're not good because they're a nerdy
school. Exactly. I think the rest of the conference doesn't like them because they're the smart school.
But, like, Michigan thinks that they're the smart school, and it is a good school.
Right.
But they also have some, like, whoa, we are high-minded Michigan men.
But, I mean, it's a giant state school versus a private institution.
That's true.
Northwestern is bougie central. Like, that is there's money there. And on top of that, it's one of the top schools in the country. So I do think that there is a little bit of discrimination going on here. Tinfoil Hat Thursday take from Todd the Show on Twitch. Jake Myers ends up with a better batting average in spring training than Cam Smith. Well, it's spring training, so yeah. I do think that's possible. Cam Smith's in right field today. We continue our countdown to Astros in right field. And some other updates from the Stros. Stick around. Paul Galancho, most interactive sports talk show in Houston, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Your Texas A.
The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Better come hang out with us at Cobos on St. Patty's Day, opening bright and early at 7 a.m. just for us. Take the day off. Take the day off. It's the day that we remember that St. Patrick chase the snakes out of Ireland or something. I don't know, man. Just drink. Just drink. Just put it up another Guinness, baby. Just put it up another one. I don't know why we celebrate it. We just do. And honestly, we celebrate it probably harder here than we do in Ireland. It is funny. Both Cinco de Mayo and St. Patrick's Day, I feel like they just became great ways for alcohol sales to happen. But guess what? You can get some alcohol and watch/listen to us in person at Cobos. It's going to be a whole lot of fun all day long on Monday the 17th. All right, guys. Astros spring training. We're 2 weeks away from the end. And then as we continue our countdown to opening day right now, I'm a little bit sad about a news I have to share with you about something that happened today in the outfield for the Astros. Give me that bone.
Another year, another inevitable AL West title.
For the fourth year in a row and the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champion.
We're counting you down to Astros opening day 2025 on March 27th.
It's a lot of people that count us out early. We don't quit. We got grit.
We are built for this.
Let's go!
Many are of the opinion that Jose Altuve might not be built for left field, given his size, given the fact that he's never played the position before. About half an hour ago, after Spencer Arrighetti threw a pitch to a St. Louis Cardinals player who hit a long fly ball to the warning track, Jose Altuve got underneath that ball and really badly mistimed a jump where he thought that he was right next to the wall and was still a good 3 to 5 feet away from it. So he mistimes the jump, clearly is spatially not aware of where he is relative to the wall. And as he jumps up to catch the ball, he looks back towards the wall and the ball misses his glove entirely. Then it bounces off the wall and away from him. Altuve stands there looking pissed off at himself. And Jake Meyers had to pick the ball up, clean it up, and throw it to third. Should have been an out. A routine out, I think. Ends up being a triple. And Altuve just looked really, really bad. Watch the video for yourself. Oh, he's going to have moments like that. There are going to be some growing pains.
Yeah, he really did not even have to jump.
No, he didn't have to jump at all. I think he thought he was at the wall.
Yeah.
And
he was like a step or two. He was maybe like three Altuve steps away from the actual, or the ball was, from actually having to get to the wall.
If this was at Minute Maid Park, this would have been in the part of left field where the Crawford boxes stop.
Yeah, it would have been in like the bullpen area.
So that's theoretically another cause for concern, because like, he's not practicing in an outfield that's like Minute Maid Park. It's one of the benefits that the Red Sox have in their spring training facility. They have a Green Monster, and the dimensions of their spring training park are exactly the same as the dimensions of Fenway. Not the case for the Astros. This is a really rough play. And for now, since we haven't seen Cam Smith bat yet, this is the concern that you have when you have a couple of infielders that are perhaps going to be your opening day starters in the outfield.
Yeah. No, this is exactly the type of play that we were talking about Altuve needing to avoid in
yes.
the outfield, where we don't need him to make the jump diving catches, the like gold glove winning cat. We just need you to avoid the
complete
embarrassing stuff. I'm not even asking you to make this play. I'm saying just play it off the wall, and then it hits the dirt in the on the warning track, and we're like, oh, could he have maybe gotten that? I don't know. Not jump for it, not get it. It almost hit you. You kind of look around, not know where it is, and Jake Meyers has to come and throw it. That's bad. Don't do that again.
Don't do that.
Brian McTaggart quote tweeted it 2 minutes later, saying as soon as Altuve got to the dugout at the end of the half inning, he was greeted by Coach Dave Clark. It looked like they were talking about this play.
I would hope so.
If there's one thing about Altuve, it's, hey, I trust him to work on it.
I do too.
But
this is this is an ugly image.
Not good. We have 14 days to clean this up, Jose.
Please clean it up.
Just a little bit.
Please.
Just a little bit. Please.
As far as Jake Meyers, who cleaned it up, this is a funny post also from Brian McTaggart from spring training. He tweeted out Jake Meyers, country strong, and then asked Grok, which is the artificial intelligence on X. Country strong means Jake Meyers has that raw, gritty power. Think farm boy strength from his Nebraska roots. He's built tough like his dad, a former All-American center fielder. Myers channels that into his game, smashing hits and playing solid defense for the Astros and cleaning up when Jose Altuve has one of the more embarrassing attempts at trying to catch the ball in the outfield. I really think that I might have looked less embarrassing in that spot if put out there. And I'm scared of baseballs. So, it's a rough one.
Yeah, I just wouldn't have left my feet. I think that's what... It's like the don't jump to try to block a dunk, because that's a great way to get dunked on. And it's like, yes, you are giving away the free points, but hey, I'm not getting dunked on. And this is the equivalent.
YouTube Keith says, can't be worse than Judge in the World Series. I mean, the only reason it's not worse than Judge in the World Series is because it's not in the World Series.
Well, and Judge is an outfielder. Like, he's supposed to be better at this.
But this is, again,
it's more routine than the Judge play.
It looks really bad, and this will definitely happen again. Mega on Twitch is pissed. Altuve's been bleeping up much more before this. I hope the Astros lose their first 23 games due to Altuve outfield errors. All caps, the Astros are dumb AF to try this. Damn, Mega. I don't want to go that far, but yeah, that's left field. And Cam Smith is literally playing right field for the first time today, and they are supposedly giving him a serious chance to be the opening day starter in right field. No word on what he did at the plate. This, I guess, could be the Astros' lineup to open the year. The lineup that they have in this split squad game. The only guy missing is Yiner Diaz. Altuve leading off. Isak Paredes, not Alex Bregman, hitting second. Yordan third. Cam Smith cleanup. Jeremy Pena fifth. Victor Caratini is sixth. I would imagine that it would be Yiner Diaz and maybe he moves up to five. But Pena has been hitting great this spring. He's hitting 500.
All right. I think Yiner would bat cleanup here.
You think so?
Instead of Cam.
Okay, that makes sense. John Singleton's in also for Christian Walker, who does have some pretty good numbers. Jake Myers and Mauricio Dubon are your center fielder and second baseman, rounding up the lineup in the 8 and 9 spots. So there you go, guys. Oof.
Hey, we have to report the news, all right?
We have to report the news. Altuve did not look good today.
It was not what you want to see out there.
Sean Mapes behind the glass and Paul Gallant. 14 days away from Astros opening day. Up next, what is the most toxic part of Houston sports? I ask that because one of the oft-criticized groups, more than any group in Houston sports, is the subject of a report where they were described as toxic. What? Who the hell are these people? And are they going to be fixed anytime soon? We'll talk about it on the other side. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The race is on at Sam Houston Race Park. Join